To the book of Matthew. Turn your cell phones off. Get ready to listen for about 3 hours. I'm lying. There was a day when I could have preached for 3 hours. I don't think I could anymore. You're thankful for that, right? Yeah, my days are gone forever. Good to see you here today. I praise the Lord that you're here with us, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to open the Word of God. Amen. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know the heart of every soul and the sound of my voice. I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will empower your words. And I pray, dear Lord, you'd change lives this day. Have your way in each of us. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Fascinating passage. Always has been fascinating to me. I never get over it. Every time I read it again, the implications of that verse are just staggering. They really are. Now, I don't know about you, but he's talking about a brother. Peter says, if Andrew sins against me. Now, I don't know how many other brothers Peter had. He might have had 15. I only know of one. I know he had a mother. She's in the Bible. And I know he had a brother, Andrew, and there's Peter. How many others they might have had? And they probably had plenty, but I don't know. But he says, how oft shall my brother? So I would say that would apply to the church or apply to your family. And it's a pretty interesting question. You know, we're not real long on forgiveness, most of us. We're pretty short on forgiveness. We like to bring up things that people did to us one time or two times. Would you take your brother really sinning against you seven times? Peter's thinking he's asking a pretty good question. Lord, I'm your disciple. I'm going to follow you. Those of you who didn't make it to Sunday school, you should have been here. I got in on the last part of it, and very good teaching. How many times do you let your brother or your sister sin against you and you forgive them? Boy, some of you it's once. Maybe not even once. There's some things that people do, you say, you'll never do that to me again. Is that right? Well, he's asking a pretty good question. Lord, I'm supposed to be forgiving. No doubt Jesus has been teaching about forgiveness. And he said, Lord, how oft shall I forgive my brother? If I do it seven times, would that be sufficient? Would that make me righteous? Would that make me good? That's a pretty good question. Now, my wife can remember everything I've done since we first got married. I forgot my first wedding anniversary. That was a bad mistake. I have never forgotten another one. I actually remembered it. I told all the guys at work, hey, I'm going to be married a year, such and such a date, you know, blah, blah. And then when the date comes, they had a party in at my house, and I come in not knowing it's even happening. She still remembers that. That's 50, almost 2 years ago. We don't like to forgive people. We don't like to be wronged. I can wake up in the middle of the night and remember an incident in high school that still makes me mad. Can you? Yeah, you can. And yet, Peter is asking Jesus, well, Lord, if I went to the length of forgiving my brother seven times, wouldn't that be something? Now, look what Jesus says. He blows your mind. If you take this anywhere, just in the implications of it, not just the actual words, which are fantastic. He said, I say unto you, 70 times 7, 490 times. Boy, you're not very patient, are you? You're not very forgiving, are you? You don't have very much grace, do you? You got a problem with your brothers. He's not talking about your enemies. He's not talking about your enemies. He's talking about your brother. So that would apply to your family. That would apply to this church. But you know the implication that I get from this? Is the forgiveness of God. How great is the forgiveness of God? If God expects me to not only forgive my brother seven times, but 490 times if I have to, I don't believe there's any single person, including my wife or my children, that I've ever had to forgive 490 times that I can think of anything that really offended me. How big is God's forgiveness? How great is His patience and His mercy and His long-suffering to His children? It blows my mind to think of how many times I can go to God and be forgiven. And I'm talking to you as a born-again child of God today. You're a Christian, and you may get discouraged with yourself. I have been discouraged with myself many times. I tell the story of my salvation, and in that experience, I did quit four things immediately when I got saved. I was just about 21 years old, and I quit smoking, drinking, cussing, and gambling the day I got saved. Drinking wasn't a problem because although I'd been drunk several times in my life, I was not an alcoholic. I was not hooked on drink. Cigarettes was a different problem. I was hooked. If I were you young people, I'd never put the first cigarette in my mouth. Because you don't know, see? I have a personality that I loved them. When I quit them, I still loved them. I've known the experience of people that tell me that all of a sudden, when they got saved, they just had no desire anymore for certain things. That's not my experience. If you've had that experience, I rejoice with you. That's a wonderful thing if God just took it away from you. No, I gutted it out day after day after day after day. The other thing I was hooked to was gambling. I didn't realize I was hooked on gambling till I quit it. Then my hands would itch when other people were playing poker. And how I wanted to gamble. And some people say I'm a gambler anyway. I'm a risk taker. And I guess I have been religiously. You even being here is something a lot of people predicted would never happen. You got to be careful what you have to deal with. You got to be careful what you let into your life. Because all of a sudden it takes on a life of its own and it controls you. God is such a forgiving God, and yet, you know, He didn't just wipe away, take away the taste from me. Did you know a good pipe still smells good to me? That's been 49 years. You better think about what you do. But the point I want to make, and I'm not going to... You as a Christian, you may think, I can't go to God with this anymore. I can't ask God to forgive me of this anymore. Well, wait a minute. Take a look at the God you're going to. Take a look at the principles He lays down for you. You're going to be a disciple? You want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? You want to do what is right? How oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? How about up to 7 times, Lord? He said, no, no, no. How about 70 times 7? If God expects that of you, if God lays that out for you as a righteous answer to that question, then what does God do? More! Amen. Think about it, Christian. You as a believer in this room this morning, you've got besetting sins. They're still there. I quit those four things. They weren't easy for me to quit. Two of them were very difficult. The other two were not that hard. But that was because of my background. I knew these things were wrong. I knew these things would hurt my testimony as a preacher or as a Christian. Because I was about a grown man and I was raised in a Christian family. So I had this experience. Does that mean I never had any problem with sin? No, I have problem with sin today. I'm an old man. I still got problem with sin. I still face temptation. I still have besetting sin. And you do too. I almost tremble when I hear somebody say they've got the victory over something. It scares me just a little bit because I'm not too sure you got as much victory as you think you've got. And I think you better be very careful in what you're dealing with. You know what you need to do? You need to confess it to God and judge it as sin and then ask Him for forgiveness. How often can I go? As often as you please. How oft shall I sin against my Father God and he forgive me. 7 times? 70 times 7? An infinite number. My Christian friend, by simply believing the Word of God, you can go back to your Heavenly Father every day of your life, 1,000 times a day, and He'll forgive you. Isn't that amazing? To me, it's one of the greatest things of the Christian life. One of the greatest experiences I have is that though I may be ashamed of myself, though I may rebuke myself for whatever my besetting sin is, I may apologize to God for coming back again. But what did He say? He said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. My Bible says that if I confess my sins, God forgives them and forgets them. That's what that book says. God removes them as far as the east is from the west. That's an infinite distance. He buries them in the depths of the sea to be remembered against me no more. To be remembered against me no more. I may remember them. My wife may remember them. My children may remember them. You may remember them, but God doesn't. Amen. That's His promise. God can make Himself forget. I confess my sins. Now, how in the world did I get rid of cigarettes? I put a New Testament in my hip pocket. When I was in the service, I was in the military at the time, you had 2 nice pockets up here, but you couldn't put anything in them. No, they had to be starched and starched down, and you better be sure there's nothing in those pockets. Everything had to be carried in your hip pockets, you know. That old New Testament got greasy and greasier and greasier because I was a refueling man. I even refueled General Curtis LeMay's big flying office. I was scared to death I'd do something wrong. But you know, every time I wanted to smoke, and that was quite often, I pulled out that New Testament and I read, and I said, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. Oh Lord, I'm having a nicotine feed. Oh Lord, I sure want a cigarette. Oh Lord. And read and prayed. And you know what? I smoked 16 years and quit when I was 21. And I've been smoke-free for 49 years. But it didn't just go away like that. It went away praying every day, reading the Bible every day. What a beautiful benefit. I read the New Testament through 20 times that year. Tells you how much I used to smoke. How are you going to handle whatever it is you're dealing with today? Today you say to yourself, I cannot get victory over this temptation, this sin, this problem, this whatever I'm dealing with. Well, you can do it the same way I did it. By asking God to forgive you 50 times a day, 100 times a day, if please. Take the Word of God. Seal your mind. Brother Brian was talking about substituting things, good things for bad things. It's an amazing thing to me how easy it is to make a bad habit, how hard it is to make a good one. How hard it is to break a bad habit, how easy it is to break a good one. We must have an enemy, you reckon? We got 3 of them, our old flesh, the whole world around us, and the devil himself. Now, some of you aren't living for God enough for the devil to even know your name. But if you were, he'd pick on you. Maybe you need to get a commitment, this I am not going to do, I'm going to live for God, and you go open your Bible up and read it, carry a New Testament, put it in your pocket, read it and say, God, help me. Forgive me. You know what He'll do? He'll forgive you. And you do that enough times, you'll get a victory. You will get a victory. But it may be you're going to have to want it bad enough to get it. In my life, I cannot think of a time in my 49 years of being saved that God just took away something like that and I didn't have to fight it. In fact, I still fight some things. I still fight my temper. Do you know what? You can make me mad. I know it's a surprise to you. But you can make me mad. I can still lose my temper. I was telling Verlene here a while back. I said, you know, I'm getting more patience. She says, no, nobody's just made you mad lately. Probably the truth. How oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. When you take the implication of that and you apply it to the character of God and what kind of God God is, that means you ought to have an open door every time you want to come to the throne of grace and to be forgiven. And you can be forgiven over and over and over and over again. And I understand that maybe some of you that are really born-again Christians and you have a besetting sin that is still tripping you up in front of the world will call you a hypocrite. And the world will say, I don't want to go to that church because it's full of hypocrites. Oh, come on in. One more won't hurt. You just keep confessing your sins. But don't you justify your sins. I hate it when I see Christians justifying what they do and claiming it doesn't hurt anything and it pleases God. It's not true. You know who hurts me more in this church? All the lost people that have come in, the people that have criticized me and fussed at me and cussed at me. No, it's born-again Christians I expect more out of. It's people who ought to be living for God and don't. People who ought to take a stand and don't. People who ought to live for the way that Jesus Christ wants them to live, and they won't. And people that I've helped and loved and worked with, and they'll cuss me and criticize me to my back. That hurts me. It hurts me when I see someone that's young and has a power and the Spirit of God is on them, and they want to live for God, and then I see them fall. That hurts me worse than anything. The loss of the opportunity, the loss of the testimony, the loss of what ought to be the gifts of the church. Oh, but I'm thankful to God that He's a forgiving God. I think it may be one of the greatest possible benefits that being a born-again Christian brings, the forgiveness of God. I'm not only forgiven when I get saved, but He forgives me daily. He cleanses me moment by moment. Every time I go to Him, He forgives me. And then He forgets it and puts it in the past and buries it in the depths of the sea to be remembered against me no more. There is forgiveness with God for the believer. Look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm still talking to Christians. This was talking to Jews. This is an Old Testament passage. At the dedication of the temple where Solomon has built the temple that David prepared for. He's dedicating it. Tremendous, tremendous time. Here's what God said to him. If my people. Again, we're talking about my people. If my people, which are called by my name. Now that was Jehovah in those days. Bless your hearts. Let me inform you, it's not Jehovah today. It's Jesus. The name above every name is not Jehovah. It is Jesus. The name you get saved in is not Jehovah. It is Jesus. The name you get forgiveness in is Jesus. But I believe the principle works the same. If God would do what He says He'll do in this verse to Old Testament believers, what do you think He'll do to New Testament Christians born again by the Spirit of God? Amen. Same thing, better. Amen. If my people, there's a principle here. Are you a part of the people of God? You may be the very least member of the body of Christ. You may be the callus on the bottom of His little toe. That may be your importance. You're still a part of the body of Christ. And being part of God and the body of Christ, then all of this applies to you. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. He didn't say be proud and stand up and say I don't sin and you can't tell me this and tell me that. No. I sin every time I preach. I sin every time I breathe. Maybe you and I don't look at sin the same. I don't commit adultery or kill somebody every time I breathe. But I still have a whole lot of self in everything I do. And self is the base root of sin, when you're lost and when you're saved. Instead of thinking of what God wants, you think about what I want. Instead of thinking about what your wife wants, you think about what I want. Instead of thinking about what your husband wants, what I want. Not what your children want, what I want. Not what your mom and daddy want, what I want. Take the I out of sin, you don't have sin. And I seem to be contaminated in everything I do. All the good things I do are still contaminated with me. And you are too. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Don't run from God. Now, I know some people, when they get backslidden, they run from the church. Oh, I don't want to go to church. No, I'm not right with God. You ought to run to God.
Amen.
The first place you ought to go when you get into sin is run to God. That's your best place. Seek my face. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Let me tell you what God says He'll do. What a promise. I don't know how many times I've preached on this and used it in revival meetings in preparation for revival. And turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. And forgive their sin and heal their land. What a promise. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. You know your biggest mistake? Not running to God. My proud Christian friend, and all of us are way too proud. You ought to humble yourself, get on your knees, and go to God Almighty and confess your sin. You got sin? Sure you do. You got a bad attitude? Sure you do. You too proud? Sure you are. What do you need to do? You got a besetting sin, a temptation that's driving you out of your mind. Every time it raises its head, you judge it as sin. You don't entertain it. You don't invite it in. You don't play with it. You don't examine it for a while. You don't take the second look. Billy Graham had a good illustration one time. He said, I can't keep the birds from flying over my head, but I can keep them from building a nest in my hair. There's a lot of wisdom in that. I can't keep all the temptations from coming my way. I can't keep the things from coming to my eyes or coming to my ears or meeting them out at the mall or at work or someplace like that. But I don't have to invite them in to stay. That's when you get yourself in real trouble. What did God say? He said, if my people will humble themselves, pray, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, I will hear their prayer in heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now let me ask you something. My Christian friend, I'm talking to born-again believers here. Why would you wait one day? Why would you wait till the night? Why wait weeks or months or years to get forgiveness? A big mistake.
Amen.
You know the biggest thing that damages you? Sin. You know why God hates sin? Because it damages you. You think, well, I damage God. How can you hurt God? He's so big. He's so big. He's so great. His mind is so big that these little bitty puny philosophers of the world pitting their brains against God really tickles me. Really does. When I was in school, the smallest thing was an atom. Boy, that was a long time ago. I mean, they keep breaking it up, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until you're sitting on space instead of things. That's what they say. Why would you wait? Why would you, my born-again Christian, my born-again believer, why would you wait 1 hour to get forgiveness of sin? You humble yourself. You quit being so stupid and proud. It's all right for me to do this. I can do what I please. I can, you know, no, you can't. You can't because you have the Holy Spirit living in you. If you're born again child of God. Now, if you're just one of these nominal Christians that you got your name on somebody's church roll, you've been washed, lost, you may be able to live in sin and it not bother you at all. And your whole judgment waits till the judgment seat of Christ. I mean the great white throne judgment. But if you're a born-again believer and the Holy Spirit of God lives in you, then He's pricking your conscience. You know you ought to do some things. You know, so some things you should not be doing, some things you should be doing, and you know you ought to confess sin as soon as it raises its ugly head up in your life. It's good preaching, Brother Lindell. You may not like it, but it's the truth. Why in the world would we as Christians go with this sin on our conscience, on our mind, on our heart, defeating us day after day after day? When you can have forgiveness simply for the asking. That's what the book says. Now, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, just believe the book a little bit. You ought to know enough to go to God and ask for forgiveness. And you can ask Him over and over and over again. I have. I know what I'm talking about. I not only believe this from the book, I do it from experience. I judge it. No, there it is again. And sometimes I have been so frustrated and said, God, there it is again. I apologize. I'm sorry. He says, what are you talking about? I don't remember. Did you hear me? He buried it in the depths of the sea 5 seconds before to be remembered against me no more. I remember it. You remember it. But God doesn't remember it. That's the forgiveness of God. What a great benefit to being a Christian. Turn with me to the book of Acts. I'm still talking about forgiveness. Acts 13:38. But now I want to switch my direction. If you're here today and you're not saved, I didn't say whether or not you think you're a member of this church or you've been baptized 2 or 3 times or you're very religious or you have a Bible with your name written on it. I said if you're not saved. So you can do all those things and be lost. I did. I joined the Methodist church when I was 11. When I married my wife, I figured she's a better Christian than I was, and there wasn't much difference between Methodist and Baptist but a little bit of water. So I joined a Baptist church with my wife. Still lost. 2.5 years later, God saved my soul. And He changed my life. So you can be baptized 2 or 3 times and not be saved, my friend. But if you're here and you're not saved, I want you to listen to these words right here. Acts 13:38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that's Jesus, it's preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by Him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. What a tremendous statement. Let me tell you something, my friend. Jesus Christ can forgive your sins and justify you before the courts of heaven, which the law of Moses could not do. I know there are a bunch of modern Christians who are trying to go back under the law. They're trying to become Jewish again. It didn't work back in New Testament times. It's not going to work today. If those guys, as dedicated as the Apostle Paul in trying to keep the law, could not do it, what do you think you're going to do? No, it doesn't work. It never did work. It's not going to work in the future. Let me tell you about this Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did something so radical, so powerful, that He can get your sins forgiven. Not only forgive your sins, but bring you into a state called justification. That means that when you go before the courts of heaven, you go there not guilty. Justified. Because you're dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He took your old sinful nature. He took all your sins. He took the filth of your mind and the filth of your mouth. He took all the garbage you're living with and He paid for it. He became it. And He paid for it. That He might justify you. That He might save your soul from hell. That He might redeem you and take you with Him to glory. Through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. This church cannot save your soul. We're going to baptize a couple of young men. That baptism cannot save them. It's a picture that they're already saved. They're giving a testimony to the world. I've been saved. Jesus paid for my sins. Therefore, I'm buried with Him in baptism and risen to walk in newness of life. And that second verse, by Him all that believe. Does that include you if you believe? Will you be a believer? That's what a Christian is. A Christian is a believer. All that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. I want to tell you, I have an invitation to give. I love preaching. There's a lot of things about this job I don't like. I'll tell you about them if you got a couple of hours. But I love preaching. I have the opportunity to stand up here and look at hell-bound men and women, boys and girls. And some of you in this room are hell bound right now. If you don't get saved, you're going to remember this service and every other one I ever preached and anybody else ever did. Forever. And you'll be the biggest loser that ever was. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care what degrees you attain to. I don't care if they hang THDs and PhDs down behind your name and give you 150 patents. They won't look very good in hell. You say, when I get down there, I'm going to party with all my boys. You're going to be all alone. Going to be no parties. We tell a lot of jokes about the parties in hell. Ain't going to be no parties. You're going to be in outer darkness all alone forever. When I read what the Bible says about hell, it still scares me. I don't like hell. I don't like the thought of hell. I wish I could stand up here and preach to you and say, there is no hell, all is well. But it's not the truth. And if I'm going to preach the truth, I'm going to have to tell you, you're headed for a devil's hell, and you may not make 20 years old. You may not make 30 years old. Take a look at me. You may not be this handsome at 70. You'd be lucky to be alive at 70. You know how lucky you are to have somebody preaching the gospel to you. Greatest opportunity ever given to man was to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and the invitation of Jesus Christ, come unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. You can be saved today. You can be justified from all things that even keeping the law could not justify for you. Now, there's another verse. Look at Acts, same book, verse 26, chapter 26, verse 18. Acts 18, 26. Think about this, my friend. Why did Jesus come? What did He send Paul to do? Verse 18, to open their eyes. To open their eyes. You know what your problem is? You're blinded by all the stupid things you got in front of you. You know, I can take a penny, two pennies, and blind myself. Just put them too close to me. Just put them too close to me. Some of you got sex too close to you. You're too hot for sex right now. You're not thinking about salvation. You're not thinking about eternity. You're just thinking about sex. Some of it's money. Boy, you don't have time for God. You got to make money. Some of you got 1,000 other things. I'm amazed at all the things we can get enamored of and spend our money and our time on. To open their eyes. Wake them up. Let them see. If you ever got a picture of what hell was like and that you were going there, you just might have a chance to be saved. God help you. Open their eyes. to turn them from darkness to light. Jesus is the light. From the power of Satan unto the power of God. You say, I'm my own man. No, you're Satan's man. I'm my own woman. I do as I please. No, you're doing just what your boss tells you to do. You need to switch bosses. You need to switch masters. It's what happened to Brother Brian. He was talking about it. It's what happened to me. Praise God, I got a new master. I wouldn't go back to that old master. Purposely make a choice to go back to that old master. I have been delivered. I have been freed. I've been given light. I've seen the future. And I've seen the promises of God. I believe I'll choose His side. You're here today and you're not saved. I want you to know He'd like to open your eyes. Open them up and take a look. Take a long look. Don't just look at the fun you're going to have next week. Don't just look at the wild oats you're going to sow. By the way, those wild oats you sow, you reap every one of them. Oh, they're going to grow. They're going to grow. They'll come up. You'll reap them. I'm still reaping some of mine. I could take you around in this room and to other people. I could take you to people that are still reaping what they sowed. You will too. Best thing you could possibly do is to open your eyes, take a look at the light and say, Jesus Christ is giving me an opportunity. Do you have enough faith to grab it? Do you have enough faith to say, yes, I'll take it? Do you have enough faith to say, I'll ask God? When they preached the gospel to me, I didn't know a lot. I didn't know what I know now. But I'd heard. I'd heard that the Bible was the Word of God. You could trust it. I'd heard that Jesus was the Son of God. You could trust Him. I've heard He was the only Savior of the world, and that He would save sinners who repented and called upon Him. That's about all I knew. It was enough. It was enough. I heard the preaching of the gospel. I'd been preached to many, many times, but God singled me out. As God singles you out today, I don't care what your religious background is. I don't care if your mother and daddy are saved and your grandfather's the greatest preacher that ever walked. You got to get saved for yourself. God doesn't have any grandchildren. I have grandchildren. My father, God, does not have any grandchildren. Every child is a child directly of His. Because I'm saved does not make my children saved. Does not make my grandchildren saved. They have to be born again themselves. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. Forgiveness of sins and a sanctified inheritance. You may have just wandered in here. Somebody may have invited you in here. You may be very religious. You may not be religious at all. It doesn't matter. I have the opportunity today to tell you Jesus Christ can forgive your sins and save your souls if you will call upon Him and ask Him to do it. You want to go on the way you are? You want to go down to eternity? You want to bet? I was a gambler. Are you that big a gambler? Well, I know some people. You know what they're betting on? They're betting I'm better than most of the people in my friendship group. I'm actually better than this one and that one, and they're rolling the dice. You know what's going to come up? Craps. Yeah. It's going to come up, craps. Snake eyes or boxcars. You lost. You're out. You're dead. And you're in hell forever. But you know, by the grace of God, I've had the opportunity to preach to a few. 49 years I've been preaching. I preached to a few, but I said, I'll take Jesus. Whatever it costs me, I don't care what it costs me. I'll take Jesus. I'm going to get on my face and I'm going to ask God to forgive my sins and save my soul and change my life. That's what I did. I just celebrated a birthday, September the 1st. Isn't this the 3rd? On September the 1st, I was saved 49 years. And I surrendered to preach the same day I got saved. God forgave me. I took a chance. I acted by faith on what that book says.
Amen.
It worked.
Amen.
You say, well, it didn't work. Oh, it worked for me. It worked for me. Ask my wife. She dated me when I was lost. She married me when I was lost. And she's been with me 49 years as saved. She'll tell you I got saved. Oh, I'm not perfect. I'm a long ways from it. You can find all sorts of things to criticize. Just take a number and get in line. Not a problem. I've been preaching too long to worry too much about it. But you know what? You can be saved today. You don't have to go to hell. If you're not saved, if you don't know that you're saved, because salvation is a no-so thing. You know it. You say, I don't remember the date and time. Some of you don't remember the date and time you were born. You were there and you were born. You're here. I know you were born. Knowing the date and time doesn't necessarily mean that you aren't born. You don't have to know the date and time that you got saved. I do happen to know the date and time I got saved. And I like it. It's sort of comforting. I can go back to that date. I can make an anniversary of it. You could make today your anniversary. Today is the day of salvation. Right now is the accepted time. You say, I'm going to do it tomorrow. You don't have a tomorrow. I'm sorry, but I'm a whole lot older than you, and I want to let you know you don't have a tomorrow. There's a restaurant I eat in quite often. Right there, pretty close to my house. Got very good food. They got a sign up on the wall that says, free beer tomorrow. Free beer tomorrow. Anybody ever got a bottle of free beer at that place? Not on your life. It's always tomorrow. You know when you get saved? You're not going to get saved tomorrow. You're going to get saved today. You don't have a tomorrow. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Think about this a minute. Open your eyes. You have no tomorrow. And in fact, when what you think of as tomorrow gets here, it'll be today. You live every life today. Every day. It's just today. Right now, you have an opportunity. You believe me? You believe the book I've read? I'm not giving you some fairy tale I've dreamed up. I'm giving you what I read in the book.
Right.
I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in His power to save your soul and change your life. And I believe you can be saved today. My Christian friend, maybe you got some burden upon your heart. Maybe there's something you're dealing with. All of us are fighting the things all the time that the Holy Spirit convicts us of. And we know we have to deal with. If you have to deal with it, come on down. Ask God to forgive you. This altar's open for you. But my lost friend, now I know several of you in this room that are lost. You're ready to go to hell. You are rolling the dice with your eternal soul. That's not very smart. You've heard the gospel before, many of you. Well, you've heard it today. Jesus Christ can save your soul if you'll have a little bit of faith to believe Him. You call upon Him and ask Him. Take Him as your Lord and Savior. Ask Him to forgive your sins. He'll forgive your sin. He'll save your soul. He'll change your life today. If you're here and you're lost and you've heard my message, I probably won't be able to hear you much. I'm about deaf. You come down and grab my hand. I'll get one of these men or women, and they'll be able to hear you, and they'll pray with you. You need to be saved today.
Amen.
We're going to stand and sing number 249. This altar's open for whatever God has laid upon your heart.